dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In that war, we are very privileged to have, representing the people of the 1st District of Virginia, with great distinction, Congressman Rob Wittman. He is, among other things, the chairman of the Readiness Subcommittee in the House Armed Services Committee, and therefore one of the most influential members of Congress on matters involving national security, day in and day out, as they say. It is always a delight to have him with us. Let me say, first and foremost, Congressman, Happy New Year. Welcome back. Congratulations on returning for the 115th Congress.
Frank, Happy New Year to you and your listeners, and great to be back with you.
We have so much to talk about. I'm going to try to do this briefly and quickly and efficiently, but let me start with your response to a force structure assessment that the United States Navy recently produced, which finds that the force structure leaves a bit to be desired. Was that a surprise to you? And if it's not, what will be done about it, do you think?
Well, Frank, it's not really a surprise. The Navy we have today is 272 ships. This most recent force structure assessment calls for a 355-ship Navy versus the 308-ship Navy that it called for in 2014. This force structure assessment, I think, is much closer to reality. It reflects the current demand signal from our combatant commands, that is, what do they need in order to do the job that we ask them to do in a world that's reflective of a very aggressive China, Russia's reemergence, the threats posed by both Iran and North Korea. I think this is much more reflective of reality. A number of changes there that I think are positive steps for our Navy is an increase of our aircraft carriers from 11 to 12, which is back to where we used to be. I think having that presence is key. As you know, we have a carrier gap that happens from time to time. As we speak today, there is not a carrier in the Arabian Gulf. That Persian Gulf area, as well as Mediterranean Sea, is a big, big issue.
Indeed.
The USS George H.W. Bush is on her way to replace that, as well as going from 34 to 38 amphibious ships, as well as increasing our attack submarines. All those things, I think, Frank, are critical to having the capability in our Navy, not just in the Pacific, but also now in the Mediterranean Sea and Persian Gulf area, which, as you know, is demanding more and more of our attention and U.S. presence.
These are big ships, very important combatant vessels, as you know, Congressman Rob Wittman. Much of the smaller Navy we have these days is projected to be made up of literal combat ships. This is a controversial program. I don't know where you stand on it. What are your thoughts on its role and the appropriate number of those ships to flesh out this fleet?
Well, you know, the littoral combat ship does have a role to play, but it is a limited role. And I think we need to be asking the questions concerning that program, the capability of those ships, what they have proven to be able to do, looking to at what the future of that ship class might hold, whether it's indeed that particular design of ship or whether we go to a frigate hull to perform those roles. I think those are all questions that we'll need to ask here in the months to come about what the future of that program holds. I know the two yards that produce those ships have worked very hard on those ships, but I think it's a more compelling issue about, you know, what meets the future needs of this nation, and also what provides the Navy the capability it needs across the entire spectrum, not just the brown water side, that is this inshore mission, but what do these ship classes do for things like anti-submarine warfare, anti-mine warfare, those kinds of things. As you know, the mission modules for that ship have not worked out as planned. Those are compelling questions we need to ask about naval capability and what platforms give us the best bang for our buck in providing that capability.
I do wonder whether we're looking at something similar to what I remember vividly from my days in the Reagan administration, a kind of Cap Weinberger versus David Stockman fight over the size of the defense budget now that we have designated by the president-elect Jim Mattis for the Secretary of Defense, and your former colleague Mick Mulvaney to be the director of the Office of Management and Budget. Do you have a sense of how that's likely to sort?
Well, I'm certain that there will be a very spirited debate about the needs of the military, the size of the military budget, and then how we integrate that with the rest of the budget. Frank, I do believe that there has to be a larger, broader budget deal to address the autopilot spending programs. We're going to have to do that in order to create the room that I think is necessary to increase the base budget for national defense. Sequester has been very problematic in leading to the degradation of capability in our forces. It leads also to a timeliness issue with modernization. That is, we're not doing modernization the way we need to keep up with our adversaries. All those things quickly add up, and they create a problem with our strategic position, with our armed forces, and what we need to do around the world. That falls within this budget context. So there certainly be a very spirited debate about how we do that, how we make sure we're using dollars as efficiently as possible within DOD. That type of acquisition reform needs to continue, and Chairman Thornberry and I have talked about making sure that effort continues in this Congress. So there are a number of moving parts. I'm certain, and I've talked with Mick Mulvaney, know him well, know his concerns about the budget, but also know, too, the needs on the defense side. I've had an opportunity to speak with General Jim Mattis, and he obviously is very focused on what needs to happen there. So I believe that there'll be a very vigorous but necessary debate about the resources that are required to provide for this nation's defense and making sure we stand by that commitment.
Well, we will be following it closely, as I know will you, from your vantage point as chairman of the Readiness Subcommittee, Congressman Rob Whitman. This is going to be a debate in which a lot is on the line, needless to say. One example of which, of course, as we've had a chance to talk with you about from time to time in the previous year, is the threat posed to our interests and even our security by communist China. Congressman, since we last talked, the Chinese ripped off an underwater drone from the United States Navy. They've subsequently returned it. They've seemingly been vexed by what President-elect Trump has been saying and tweeting and otherwise doing to date, and I think some of his appointments. How do you anticipate his administration will be dealing with the Chinese, and what would you be recommending in that regard?
Well, certainly they have to be mindful of the Chinese aggression in the areas that are outside of the internationally recognized China's exclusive economic zone. As you know, with them picking up a drone from one of our U.S. Navy Pathfinder survey ships, and this was a non-military drone known as a glider, and it simply collects unclassified data on things like water temperature, salinity, and other factors that are necessary to have information for navigation. This is clearly an aggressive act because our ship was in the area, and it's inconsistent with international law and the standards of professionalism for the conduct between these navies at sea. That's deeply concerning. There has to be, I think, an equal response by the United States to assert that there has to be freedom of navigation of operations in these areas. And I believe that assuring that we pursue those operations, that is, have our ships present in those areas, have these operations present in those areas, and if these things happen, make sure we counter that to say that this is unacceptable behavior by the Chinese. I think the incoming Trump administration will do that. We'll make sure, too, that the Navy has clear rules of engagement to make sure that we are asserting that freedom of navigation operation. Make sure, too, that those FONOPs, as they're called, are unannounced, so the Chinese aren't waiting as we travel within 12 miles of these islands or we pursue these activities that are clearly allowed under international law, to make sure we assert that sovereignty of the seas that's available to all nations, because it's only the U.S. that's going to counter that. You won't find smaller nations like the Philippines, where this incident happened there in Subic Bay, to assert that. So it's a U.S. obligation to make sure that we do that, and we do that in an unannounced way, and we counter that aggressive behavior by the Chinese, because they want to, by their efforts, assert their, what I believe is an unfounded assertion of their sovereignty within those areas. I had a great opportunity to talk with CNO Admiral Richardson concerning his visit to China and his visit with Admiral Wu, who is the commander of the Chinese Navy. Interesting conversations there. And again, China, I don't believe, wants to get into a conflict, but they are pretty assertive about what they believe is their traditional claims in those areas.
Congressman Rob Whitman, we have to leave it at that. I do want to just note that speaking of rules of engagement, an American vessel going through the Strait of Hormuz fired warning shots at some Iranian vessels that were dogging it as they made that passage. And I think that's literally and figuratively a shot across the bow of the kind we better be seeing more of. Thank you for your leadership in all of these areas, Congressman Rob Whitman, and for joining us from time to time. I look forward to talking to you often in 2017. In the meantime, good luck in the days ahead with the new Congress. Next up, we'll be speaking with Joseph Heumeier. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.